Well, the great I am, the great I am invites us to come and worship him today. So we're here today to praise and adore God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So let us bring ourselves now into a time of preparation to come into his presence and worship him together.
Teaching this morning from the Old Testament comes from the book of Psalms, the 84th chapter. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young. A place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk, from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you.
My soul yet faint.
You know, that psalm was written as a processional psalm, and when the people would come to Jerusalem and they would process into the holy city, they would come over the Mount of Olives and they would look down and they would see the temple, the beautiful temple where they believed God dwelled. And it was a beautiful sight. It was white marble. It was reflecting in the light. And people would say, "How lovely are thy dwellings, O God." Just think how much more exciting and lovely it's going to be when we approach heaven. And we come into that place and we see the beauty of God and the beauty of our inheritance. I can hardly wait. And we will all sing, "How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord." We come now into his presence with prayer. He is here. So let us bow our heads and our hearts before him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your beauty and your wonder and your glory and your love, your patience, your forgiveness, your invitation, your acceptance. We praise you, Lord, for your strength and your might and your victory. We praise you that you are our Lord and our God, that you care for the sparrow, that you care for our needs, that you provide. And Lord, we thank you for our fellowship, our church. We thank you for one another, for the people around us, behind us, in front of us. We thank you for those who could not be here today. We pray that you will be with us and with them. And Lord, we lift to you Annie Cox, and we lift to you Tommy Schaefer. And I pray, God, that you will touch their bodies, encourage their minds and spirits, and be with them as I pray they worship you at home today, now. Lord, many times we have lifted to you our physical problems, our relationships, our financial challenges, our hearts, our attitudes. Lord, you know every need that we have. You know every person here intimately, and you know every need represented in this room. And I pray, Lord, that you will hear us now as we pray silently to you and beseech you for our own petitions. Lord, we pray for our country and we pray for our leaders. We pray for the process of selecting our leaders. We pray, Lord, that you will bless our president, his cabinet, the Senate, the representatives, all those who serve this country. And Lord, heal our land. Heal our land. And touch the hearts of those leaders that they may turn to you for wisdom, for salvation, for guidance. Heal our land. And Lord, we pray that you will guide us as we look into an outreach ministry in missions. Lead us, Lord, every step of the way. May we be obedient to you in everything that you call us to do. May your face shine upon us as worshipers of the true God, worshiping you with truth and spirit and with our minds and hearts open to you. So thank you for letting us be here again today. Thank you for being our God. And we pray that you will hear our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our teaching this morning out of the New Testament, the first book of Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the 1st through 11th verses. If any of you have a dispute with another, dare he take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of this life? Therefore, if you have disputes about such matters, appoint as judges even men of little account in the church. I say this to shame you. Is it possible that there is nobody among you wise enough to judge a dispute between believers? But instead, one brother goes to law against another, and this in front of unbelievers. The very fact that you have lawsuits among you means you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong, and you do this to your brothers. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. We were washed by the blood that was shed at Calvary. Let's stand together and sing the old hymn At Calvary. Our Father, it was Calvary where you anointed us and washed away our sins. We come now to set aside the influences of this world, to judge one another, but to come and understand the message you have prepared on how each and every one of us, brothers and sisters through the salvation you have brought to us, should treat each and every one. Enter our hearts, enter our minds that we may understand, and bless the one that you have prepared to deliver the message that you have. For we ask these things in your name, and through your Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Today is the 11th installment of our series on the Sermon on the Mount, and today we turn to the third chapter of the three chapters of this sermon. This would be chapter 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. Hear the word of the Lord. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Some of you will remember the turbulent decade of the 1960s. Some of you would like to forget the 1960s. But one of the things that Elizabeth and I will never forget about the 1960s was a television program that we loved. In fact, it's been listed as one of the top 20 or 25 television programs of all time. It was called Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. In an age of sit-ins, in an age of riots, in an age of assassinations, in an age of Vietnam, it was such a relief to just laugh on Monday nights. It began in 1968. There were 140 episodes. Elizabeth and I saw 140 episodes of Laugh-In. And two of the comedians on that program were Flip Wilson and Sammy Davis Jr., and they introduced a gag on the program every week, and it began with a chant, and the chant went like this: If your lawyer is asleeping, better give him a nudge. Everybody look alive. Here come the judge. Here come the judge. Does anybody remember that? Unfortunately, yes, you remember that. It was a spoof and it was funny every week and there was a lot of laughter. But in real life, the judgment hall is not funny. In real life, the judgment hall is filled with dignity and reverence. It's somber. Sometimes it's even scary. Every single one of us is going to stand before our judge at some point in the future, and there will be tremendous respect and reverence. And yes, there's also going to be a great deal of fear, I'm afraid. In fact, listen to the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 12. This is the first verse of Luke chapter 12. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. And what you have whispered in the ear in the inner rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. But that's pretty sobering, isn't it? And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, do not judge, or you too will be judged. And he continued, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Judging comes very easily for most of us. We do it all the time. And in fact, sometimes we do it for entertainment. At least we feel like it's entertainment, because sometimes when we judge other people, it makes us feel better, because we look down on other people. And of course, we shouldn't be judging others. There are a lot of reasons why. Here's four. We hardly ever know all the facts. Also, it's impossible for us to judge impartially because of who and what we are. None of us is good enough to judge somebody else. And besides all that, Jesus said, don't do it. And that's why Jesus went on to say in verse 3, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What a picture that is. Can you see yourself? You come up with your handkerchief and you try to get that little bit of dust out of somebody's eye, and there's a big 2x4 sticking out of your own eye. That just announces, here come the judge with that big plank. And you know that plank's going to make it very difficult for you to get close to that person also, isn't it? Jesus said, clean your house before you try to rearrange somebody else's furniture. I really don't like preaching this sermon because I am so guilty. Could somebody who has never committed this sin please come and take over for me and do this for me? Nobody? Then I guess we'll move on. You may remember in the first installment of this Sermon on the Mount series, I said that some people criticize the Sermon on the Mount because it was mostly Christian ethics. How do we live our lives? Instead of Christian theology. But I also pointed out that one of the greatest theologians who has ever lived, the Apostle Paul, frequently quoted the Sermon on the Mount. I'm reading from the book that probably has more theology in it than any book in the Bible. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. God's judgment is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? The guilt just keeps coming, doesn't it? It just keeps coming. Let's talk about chickens. Why not? You see, in the chicken coop, there is a pecking order. The queen chicken has the right to peck any chicken she wants in the entire hen house. And the interesting thing about this society of chickens is that the lower you go down in the rank, every hen has the opportunity to peck another one. And when you get to the bottom of the pecking order, they are usually the most cruel. They're more cruel than the queen herself. Peck a little, talk a little, chick, chick, chick. Churches and chicken coops. Chicken coops and churches. There's a lot of cackling going on in both. And in both, you have to watch where you step. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your sister's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? Let's talk about pigs. This is a true story. It's in the 1800s. It was in Manchester, England, and there was a show on the streets. And there was a man standing on the streets barking at the people going by to come into the show, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, come see the great American pig." And sure enough, there was a pig performing there. And there was a man by the name of Henry Morehouse, a young man, and he passed by and he decided to go in to see the pig. Now, Henry Morehouse was a scoundrel, and in fact, he had been in and out of jail several times. But later, he was converted to Christianity, and he actually became a Christian evangelist. And later in his life, in one of his sermons, he talked about that pig show that he attended in Manchester, England. And he said that the trainer would give a command to this smart pig. Pigs are smart. And the pig would pick out the letters that spelled G-O-O-D-P-I-G. Good pig. Also, he would stand up on his hind legs. Also, he would extend one of his legs and shake hands with you. They dressed him up in a little outfit. They put fingernail polish on his hoofs. He was a cute pig. He was a pretty pig. He was a smart pig. He was an entertaining pig. One day, the trainer wanted to take him outside for exercise. He put him on a leash and he went outside. Somehow, that pig got out of that leash and he made a beeline for a mud puddle. And he rolled around in that mud and he grunted and oinked as loud as he could. Happy, happy pig. In the sermon that Henry Morehouse gave, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, you may be educated, socially graceful, and dressed and attractive, but your true nature makes you enjoy rolling around in the mire of sin." Churches and pig pens. Pig pens and churches. There's a lot of filth in both. And you have to be careful where you step. Now, some of us were highborn. That's nice. Some of us weren't so highborn, but we worked our way up in the social ladder and we became a little bit more hootie-toot or hoity-toit. My brother-in-law says hootie-toot. That's why I like to say that. I think it's hoity-toity is the real word, but I like hootie-toot. And the more hootie-toot and hoity-toity people are, the more they like to get fancy clothes and nice shoes, and they like to look nice. But that only covers the outside. It doesn't matter whether you were highborn or not. The inside is what really matters. It doesn't matter how highborn you are, it matters that you are newborn, right? Now listen to this poem. "I was shocked, confused, bewildered as I entered heaven's door, not by all the beauty of it all, by the lights or its decor, but it was the folks in heaven who made me sputter and gasp. the thieves, the liars, the sinners, alcoholics, the trash. There stood the kid from seventh grade who swiped my lunch money twice. Next to him was my old neighbor who never said anything nice. Herb, who I always thought was rotting away in hell, was sitting pretty on cloud nine, looking incredibly well. I nudged Jesus. What's the deal? I would love to hear your take. How'd all these sinners get up here? God must have made a mistake. And why is everyone so quiet, so somber? Give me a clue. Hush, Jesus said. They're all in shock. No one thought they'd see you. Do not judge. First, take the plank out of your own eye. Wait, there's another phrase. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, there are some times when God wants us to be the judge. Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. 1 Corinthians 5. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. 2 Timothy 4, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Here come the judge. You and I are sometimes called to put on the black robe and the white wig and be the judge. And that's especially true, according to the Bible, within the church of Jesus Christ. What kind of judge are we supposed to be? Leviticus 19, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Deuteronomy 1, 16, hear the disputes between your brothers and judge fairly. 2 Chronicles 19, judge carefully, for with the Lord our God there is no injustice or partiality or bribery. 1 Corinthians 6, do you not know that we will judge angels? Wow! Here come the judge. Judgment is a serious, solemn act, and it is not forbidden by Christ. In fact, sometimes he commands us to judge. We're called to judge the sins of the ungodly. We're supposed to confront the immoral. We're supposed to restore the Christian who has fallen from grace. We're supposed to resolve disputes among us. We're supposed to look for the fruit of the tree. But judging and condemning others for the things that we are guilty of ourselves, trying to make ourselves better than others, these are the sins of judgment that will be exposed on the final day when we all stand before him and there will be no more secrets. This passage in Matthew 7 ends this way in verse 6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Now, in the days of Jesus, the Jews looked at all non-Jews, the Gentiles, as dogs or pigs. That was the phrase that they often used to describe them. And Jesus is saying, the most holy things of God should not be offered indiscriminately to all persons. That's one reason that we invite believers to come to the Lord's table when we have communion. And judgment is one of those things. It includes judgment within the church. It's one of the holy things of God. Why shouldn't we bring these holy things to the non-believers? Well, they might trample them under their feet. They might ridicule them. They might revile you. They might profane the sacred things of God. And this is the worst of all. They might commit blasphemy, which Jesus said is the unforgivable sin. Let's bring this to a close. There once was a very wise man. He sat in the town square every day, and people from the village would come and ask his advice, and he would give them wisdom. One day a man came to the wise man and said, "I'm looking for a new church to join, and I'm eyeing that church over there on the corner, and I wonder if you can tell me what kind of people go to that church." And he said, "Well, first let me ask you, what kind of people, what were the people like in the church you're coming from?" And he said, "Oh, they were rascals, they were sinners, they were not honest, they were gossipers, they were liars, they were terrible people." And the man said, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you that that's exactly what those people are like over there too." So the next day another man came and he said, "I'm looking for a new church. Can you tell me about that church over there?" He said, "Well, what were the people like in the church where you came from?" "Oh, they were such wonderful people. They were loving people. They were kind people. They were hardworking, giving people." He says, "Well, I'm happy to tell you, the people in that church over there are the same way." You see, when you are grumpy, people are going to be grumpy with you. When you are joyful, people are going to be joyful with you. When you are judgmental, people are going to be judgmental with you. It's contagious. And we'll be guilty of judgmentalism, hypocrisy. There was a pastor who had a unique way of dealing with people who came into his office and told him the faults of other people in the church. His method was, he had a little book on his desk, and he would open the book. He said, "I tell you what," he said, "write down all the faults that you're talking about, so-and-so, and then sign your name to it, and then I'll take it to them and confront them with it." He said, "You know what? I've opened that book hundreds of times, and no one has ever put one entry in that book." Brothers and sisters, the judge is coming. True judgment is coming for all of us. And when we have to be iron rubbing on iron with one another, let it be done with love, with truth, so that on the day of judgment, when all the secrets are revealed, Jesus will smile. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be the church known for people that are loving, hardworking, giving, forgiving. We want people to see our faith in Jesus and our love for one another, as the Apostle Paul frequently said to all those to whom he wrote. Lord, we don't want to be the church that's full of complainers and hypocrites and judges. But Lord, you know the secrets of our hearts. You know the weaknesses of our flesh. You know the sin that so easily besets us. So Lord, help us to be strong and wise judges when it is needed. And help us to not be hypocritical, judgmental people with one another or anyone else. Lord, I guess what I'm saying is, help us to be more like Jesus. And I pray in his name. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing. Take time to be holy this morning. We trust in His word now as we give back as we've been blessed. Please be seated.
Offerings to Him with praise. Let's stand together. Father, we dedicate this now to You, these offerings of love and these tithes, these gifts to Your kingdom, and I pray that You will use them for Your glory and to hasten Your return. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me remind you that when the service is over, we're going to have a brief meeting for those who are willing and able to stay to talk about a missions ministry. And also, I understand the clipboards did not get around. So whoever the culprit is, would you please take the clipboards to Elizabeth at the door. She's going to put them out in the foyer, and you can sign the clipboards on the way out there. The Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen. God bless you all.